It started about 6.5 years ago when me and my wife, at that stage, only had two babies. Now I've got three kids, then I had two babies. My dogs also grew to three at this stage. I'm a father of many, I guess. At this time, many of you, the leaders, those of you that were there on Wednesday evening when we met with the leaders, you would have known, you saw Pastor Philip preaching here earlier. And it's a time of a new season. It's time of turning a page. So Auntie Doris looks very, very puzzled right now. What is happening right now? No, I'll tell you right now, to that little board, it says to me, personally, it says, welcome to me and my family. Auntie Doris, at the end of, in a month's time, at the end of April, we will be moving to Shofar Swakopmund. We stay in the ministry, we move to Swakopmund. And Pastor Philip Gerber and Anne-Marie, they were here 2 weeks ago, I think. He preached here, I think it was 2 weeks ago. They are moving from Piketberg in South Africa. Who of you know where that is? Third of the church. Okay, it's on your way from Cape Town. If you drive on the N7, you're going to pass Piketberg, a little small town. I think it's there on the left-hand side of the road. They are moving here. They are going to be the new pastors in Shofar Windhoek. We already shared it quite a while ago with the elders, zone coaches, the past week. We shared it with, I think, Wednesday evening with the leaders in church. So I'm excited about it because to me, and I'm going to share a little bit today, isn't the typical teaching or a word. It's a little bit of more, maybe a bit of a reflection and about a new season. And as I was just standing there, and I just caught myself once again. Sometimes we do these things. I was standing there and I was praying for a few things because right a month from now, you know, our trek, our everything we have needs to be offloaded in Swakopmund. So my mind is a little bit on getting what we have here to there, making the move, children going to new school, all the logistics. And I was just praying about one or two things I was trusting God for, like almost reminding God, yes, God, I'm praying now. Remember, my children also need a new school and they need place in the school. And then I just had that experience I had so many times in my life before where I just felt, and that's what I'm part of what I can share this morning, is that God has got a plan, you know. And so many times we want to tell God, but how to do the plan, how to make things work. But he already has got like a path laid out for us. Last week I preached a little bit Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10, you know, where God had a plan in eternity with our lives. And it's a very difficult concept for us to understand how eternity work and how long it will be and all those type of things. It's kind of complicated to understand that God in eternity already had a name for me and for you, that he already had a plan for our lives. And at the end of last year, you know, I was really asking a lot of questions. I really started to know our season here in Shofar Windhoek are coming to an end. I just had this picture almost like, will the road turn left? Will it go kind of left or straight or more to the right-hand side? What exactly is going to happen? And that's sometimes, you know, when Reinald asked this morning, who of you are going through a tough time? I think many times when we don't know what the day of tomorrow and thereafter, how it's going to pan out or how it's going to look, I think we feel it's a tough time because we're not in control. But that's basically a good thing. If you get to a place of where you really just know you don't know about the day of tomorrow. I think when you are maybe here and you are single today, I remember in my own life, you know, life is a little bit less complicated because you can left, go straight, or turn right. But then when you've got a wife and you've got kids, you know, you're responsible for a lot more. And it's not just that, it's what God called you for, and he will keep you responsible for that one day. So friends, this morning, as I said, I just had, as I was preparing just for today, it's weird if you think 6.5 years, it doesn't seem that long, but in a sense, it's really a long time. You can show Yeru that first little picture of my children. I went there. Do you remember those two boys? Skola will remember. Now let me see. Maggie will remember. Auntie Doris, Reinald, those Martha will remember. I still remember the first leaders meeting we had here way back in 2008. I thought I was really intimidated by Martha because she had all her Namibian police clothes on, and I thought, like, what is this in church? This seems like a spy or something. I didn't know what Martha was, but I got to know she's really a nice lady. And, you know, if you look at last night, I was sitting there in my office going through a lot of old photos. I've got a bit distracted. And then I sent a few of them. Maybe you don't know where Piketberg is, but you know what's up is? What's up? You know that? It's very useful. And I sent it to my wife and my father and a few family members, just the old photos of when the kids were small. And then I just saw, well, time definitely passed a lot because the boys now, well, yeah, they really grew quite a lot. And then my wife actually SMS'd me and said, aren't you supposed to work on your sermon? And I'm like, I'm working on my sermon. I'm going through memory lane here. So I guess church isn't the normal job, eh? If you're in full-time ministry, it's quite a lot different than a few other things in life. So just a little bit of admin before I continue. End of the month, I think the 26th of April will be the last Sunday I'll be preaching here as the full-time pastor in Swakop in Windhoek. I will definitely in future, I suppose, preach here again, but then not in that capacity. And then also Pastor Philip, they are moving here. Pastor Philip Gerber and Anne-Marie, as I said, they were here 2 weeks ago. Some of you guys had the braai with them also that evening or that afternoon. They will be here around about the 1st of May. Now, their move from South Africa to Windhoek is a lot more complicated than ours from Windhoek to Swakopmund. We did it 6.5 years ago, and basically for them to immigrate, come here, there's a lot more challenges to that. So I really want to ask you to pray for them, all the logistics. They also have 3 children. And I really want to ask you, there was a handful of people, Nudia, I just saw him here, Henning and Marisa isn't here this morning, you guys, Reinald Tiller, that really made it easy for us when we came here and really reached out a hand. So I want to encourage you guys also to make it easy for them, see where you can help them. As I said, pray for them, all the logistics. They are also walking away from a lot of familiar things. They're coming, in a sense, to the unknown here in Namibia. But as I was standing there, I just know it's part of God's plan. You know, as I tried to remind God this morning about the school for my children, and I just came that, as I said, that place of God already know. You know, He doesn't. It's not a surprise for Him that you are moving. It's not a surprise. I think I'll say it with respect. But as I last year during the December holiday, you know, at the start of the holiday, there were so many junctions I thought we can possibly take, you know, in the road ahead. And I think God sometimes, He just sits and look at us and have like a laugh because we like headless chickens trying to run around and figure it out. But there's a perfect plan for Him. And at somewhere in the holiday, I just told my wife, you know, I think let's just stop trying to figure out this new season thing and just spend time with God, you know. And then actually what happened then is what always happened. The answer comes, you know, the answer came. Many times it's like, okay, I'm going to make this calculation, maybe this, and move it like almost like playing chess. And then the moment you sit down and you really say, okay, God, I don't know, I don't have a clue, but I'm just going to spend time with you. I'm going to let it go. Then the answer came. We'll come back to that point in a few minutes. So, I really want to encourage you, reach out to Pastor Philip. He's also been in Chofa for like a decade. He knows the ropes system. You guys are the church, so keep on doing what you are doing. And then also Pastor Yaku, you will be the senior pastor in the region. As many of you know, the men's camp, the Awaken, the missions, the regional church camp at the later in the year, Blaze, all those things, because we're only 2 churches in the region, we really try to do things together. We go together to the men's camp. We go together on missions or outreaches. So we will see each other a lot. Come and visit us in Swakopmund. Auntie Doris, you've been to Swakopmund lately? No, you haven't. Okay, now you're invited, eh? Come and say hi to us there. Come and say hi to us. So, as last night I was sitting there and I just think like, yo, 6.5 years, it's been a long time in many ways. As I said, if I look at my children, I don't really feel getting older at this stage of my life. Maybe we do, but it doesn't really feel like that. Who of you feel you're getting older? We'll pray for you afterwards. Why do you know you're too young? You don't qualify. But long story short, you know, Warrie definitely got old. He was a schoolboy when I got here. Now he's a working man at FNB, eh? Yes, he's now a guy earning a salary, studied, all those things. So I remember that first Sunday that I preached here. I still have that sermon. I remember the first time there was awakening in the region. I remember the first time we had the Blaze Conference 2 years ago, the first time we went to Zambia, the first international mission for our region. There's so many things that really came to my mind. Some of you will remember Francois and Hanley Borchardt, people that really, I think, when we got here, played such an awesome role in the church. So I've seen a few people come. I've seen a few people go, move on. My first two elders, they both left for South Africa. I think we were here about 2 years. Then the one had to go back to South Africa. And Dr. Panganai, he had to go back to Zimbabwe. I miss them still. Ulrika, my little girl, she was born here in Namibia, here in Windhoek. So there's a lot of things that comes to our hearts and minds. And I think I'm just sharing a little bit. Lachia also, if I look at you, you were first here on missions and then you became part of the church. So it's nice to see how we look on, or how we go on in life. The first scripture I want to share with you is Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the sun. Now, there's a lot of advice in books, and some of it are definitely good, how we can plan, how we can, you know, equip ourselves. But if you get to a place of just saying, God, I really trust in you, that you will appoint the seasons, that you will know, you know, many of you might think back maybe 10 years in your life, 15 years, 20 years. Some of you might think back 30, 40 years. And if you take yourself back to that place and you think like, where you were then, and when you what you planned ahead, usually things don't work out the way we planned them, especially over a longer time. It's amazing, you know, but it's really a place where I can say this morning, I really trust God, and I just have to share this little testimony with you, because for me, it's a big one. When we had to come to Namibia in 2008, I really had 110% peace about it, that's the right thing, leaving Stellenbosch behind, coming to Windhoek, etc. But last year, I really had a tough time in terms of taking the next step, because I really, in many ways, wanted to stay here in Windhoek, you know. But as I know, God is gracious, and I think He just said, it's time for a new season, for us, for the church. Now, I remember that evening, the children were asleep, and my wife was sitting in the one chair doing work or what, not work, it was the holiday. She was on her laptop or tablet looking at stuff. And I remember we had a conversation, and some of you might be able to relate, but I remember that moment when we talked about one or two things, and it hit me like an arrow in my heart, you know. And it's something I remember about last year, September, yeah, that was when we had the Blaze Conference. Pastor Mac and Udine were here, and we were basically talking about them, about the future and ministry and a few things. And I remember Udine said, but why don't you go to the coast or Swakop or Walfish Bay or that, where's the places? And I was like, no, I don't want to go there. I don't like the coast, you know. It's misty. I like the weather here in Windhoek, and I just feel it's my place. So it was just like not an option for me. And I never actually even thought about it in that sense. And that evening, we talked about a few things. And as I said, that arrow just hit in my heart, where I just felt at that moment, you know, the Holy Spirit just convicting me, it's going to be Swakop Munt. And it was almost like impossible. That's a thought like, it's almost like you want to go like this, because it's, yes, God, I hear you, but I don't almost want to agree. It's almost like something I can't imagine. But, you know, then we started to talk about it. We started to pray about it. And then about the 5th of January, when we started to work, I give Pastor Jaco and Swakop Munt, good friend of mine, obviously, brother in Christ, I gave him a call, and we had like usually Liesl, that was my secretary up till recently, she always had a laugh when I said, okay, I'm just going to quickly phone Jaco, and then she always said, yeah, I'll see you in an hour's time, because she know when we talk, we usually talk about a lot of stuff. And like normal, we had our half an hour conversation after the holiday, just catching up what's happening. And then I said to him, but Jaco, I've got something I want to share with you. It's really weird in my heart, but I'm going to submit it to you. And then I just told him, you know, we feel that actually the Holy Spirit is pointing us to Swakopmund in terms of ministry. And, you know, he was quite excited. And I remember the evening, Johanri, his wife, she found Maritza and like, when are you coming? And all the stuff. I said, whoa, no, it's not like that. There's still a lot of water that needs to flow into the sea, as the Afrikaans quote goes. And at that stage, you know, one thing led to another. We speak to our regional director, Pastor Janko Brink, submitted it to our apostolic team. And as I said earlier, right now, Antidoros, in a month's time, we are leaving for Swakopmund. We're becoming coastal people. And the interesting thing is, where I was really like resistant, I thought like, no, God, no. Skola was my secretary for a year and a half or two. I can't remember how long it was. And she will vow that I really love this place. And I couldn't imagine living at the coast. I mean, there's nothing that lives there. It's a desert. It's only people, or is there stuff that's alive? To me, that's always how I see it. Whether you go there April, June, or September, it always looks the same. Just mist, you know? But that's something from my flesh I'm sharing right now. There's a place where I can really say now, I'm really excited. I'm excited about the new season. And as we said yes to this new thing, this new season, and that's something I guess we can learn from. We can resist God. Ask Jonah what happened, you know. God will just give in another time or season come and ask you the same question. And as we just said yes, you know, a lot of things just started to fall in place. And I can honestly say right now, I will not tell the guys in Swakop, they will not listen to this recording or anything, that I just say there's nothing alive and only mist. They will not like me then. But I can honestly say that I'm excited, you know, to go there and to know, I believe in my heart, it's God, a part of God's plan and purpose for our lives. It's part of a new season for this church. It's part of a new season for us there in Swakopmund. And let me share a second scripture that I want to share with you. It's from Daniel 2, 20 to 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of our God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and set up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So it says there, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and set up kings. And I believe that is just speaking about God being in control. Especially, I'm reading now a book about the end times and the countdown to Jerusalem and how everything regarding the book of Revelation will come to an end. And where we stand right now, we can just say, well, will it be like that? But I can promise you, yes, it will be according to what Scripture says. Because Scripture is faithful. Scripture is true. And here I just believe the Scripture I got last night, it's just like confirmation to my heart that God is appointing the times and the season. There was a time when we had to say goodbye to South Africa. We came here. And I know that God had a plan and a purpose for us, but He also had it for you. And now it's time for a new time and season. And that's why I really want to ask you to reach out to Pastor Philip. Be their friends. Serve them. Be obedient to them. I believe that God already in eternity had a plan regarding who is moving where in what time. You know, Pastor Yaku, that many of you know so well, 5 years ago he was still sitting in London, you know. And I think he probably didn't know at that stage he's going to be the pastor of Shofar Swakopmund. And you don't know what your life and the next season will look like exactly. So, it's time for us to move on. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, there's a very well-known part that Paul is writing there about. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, in my own heart, I feel like the past six and a half years, I fought the fight. You know, it wasn't easy. Church, life, many things definitely isn't something easy. There's a lot of resistance. There's a lot of hard work. But I do feel that the past six and a half years, we were in that fight. And I want to encourage you this morning that when your life comes to an end, or when you stand and reflect, at least say you were in that fight. You know, maybe your nose is bleeding, maybe you broke an arm, but that's part of being in a fight. Whoever fasted, if you ever fasted, you will know it's not easy. For some of us, maybe it is, but for me, it's challenging. That's part of a fight. Crying, seeing people grow, seeing people walk away, seeing people being baptized. I remember once or twice we baptized people here, June, July, and you feel like you want to die because the water is so cold. That's part of the fight. Going on mission, serving in church, working late afternoons or evenings, early in the morning. You guys know what it's about. Be part of that fight. I can definitely not say I finished the race. I think most of us can't say it. We're way too young. Where's Warrior? Don't raise your hand now. We haven't finished the race. But that's encouragement for me and for you this morning that the race is continuing. You know, it's not something where you can say, wow, I've done now a few good works. I've given this few tithes, or I've given an offering or two. I went on a mission, and you know, now my job is done. Most of us, a big, big part of our lives, are still laying ahead. So there's a lot of work. There's a lot of this race that is still ahead of us. And I just want to encourage you this morning to run that race. When you come to the end of the race, then it's too late to say you haven't partake of it. Then it's a good time to say, shoo, it was one big race, but you came to the end. And then the last part is, Paul is writing there, he says, I have kept the faith. You know, those who keep the faith until the end will be saved. You know, it's something we can't start this race. It was so disappointing to me. It's now 13 years ago that I gave my life to the Lord. And I already know that after about 2 years of running this race of a Christian, that the first small group that I was part of, that a few guys have left that race. They joined the race of this world, okay, running another race. That's disappointing. We see it all the time. People, last year at the Pastor Summit, Pastor Chris Lodewijk, he's about 75 years old, really an awesome warrior of God, someone who we can say really, really fought the fight, ran the race. And he shared with us, according to his own research, he shared with the pastors that at least three pastors of mega churches around the world fall in sin each month. You know, and I say mega churches, we're almost a mega church, we're almost there, about 35 people this morning. That's prophetically speaking, we will become one. But that's churches 5, 10,000 and up, you know, really big churches. And it's really the enemy taking those guys out, or whether they're not walking in the light or accountability, I don't know. But it's men who's falling out of this thing. And I believe if we can just say, I kept the faith. It's okay to sometimes fall, you know, to make mistakes, to get stuff wrong. But keep the faith, you know. Don't walk away from that ever. There's a part, I remember it's still in 2009, I preached a sermon on this. From the book of Joshua, amazing book to read from time to time. Such an awesome advice to see God's heart there. And I just want to share about five scriptures or five verses from the book of Joshua. And I will preach two times more before we leave for Swakopmund. Not sure what I'm going to preach about, but I just felt I want to, in a sense, leave this with you. Joshua obviously took over from Moses, went to the promised land. Wasn't an easy job. You know, he was a younger man. And there was a lot of hard work ahead for him. But it's something for myself and something for you guys. I just want to leave with us this morning as well. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 to 10. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law, you can just say the Bible, that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law, you can just say scripture, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people. And then it continues how he got the people together for the new task ahead, for the new work. And I just want to tell you this morning, be strong and courageous. Meditate on the word. Stay in that. You know, it's something God is going to take this church to. And I really look forward in the next year and 5 and 10 and who knows how long that, you know, when I come back to preach here, maybe on whatever it might be, to just see how God is going to take you guys to a new season. I know Pastor Philip, and I know the man who God made him to be, and I know because I believe in God that he's the right man for the new season. Okay? So, it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And that, it's some translations say also speak about stirring up that gift, you know. So sometimes when you leave a candle to burn, it will just burn, and then it will come to an end. Or if it's a little lamp that works with oil or paraffin or what, it will burn and then it will stop eventually if you don't fill it up. And it's so important that for every person here, I can tell you this morning that God has got a plan with your life, because Scripture says so. God has given certain gifts to you, to me, to every one of us, and it's important that we can run with that. As I said last Sunday, God is going to ask us one day what we did with the gifts that he has given us. We're going to have to be accountable to God. He's going to say to JP, that voice I've given to you, that ability to play a guitar, you know, what did you do with that? And then JP can say, I led the worship God this morning. I really tried to do my best. Okay? And it goes for every one of us. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God. Keep that flame burning. If you're not sure what that gift is, what God is calling you for, it's not condemning this morning, but you need to find out. Okay? You need to be a steward of that. You need to run with that into God's kingdom, into God's world. The job here certainly isn't finished. There's still so much to do, so much to be accomplished in this nation, in the city. I believe the work isn't getting smaller. It's actually getting bigger. It's actually not getting smaller. It's getting bigger. The job that we as a church need to do. I'm currently reading a book on the challenges and obstacles to reconciliation and stability in Namibia. And I just want to read you two quotes from that book. And it's something very, very relevant to all of us. The first quote, it will be up there as well. It says, "Presently, there are no other similar organized entities in civil society that could compete with the church, still strong standing and tentative influencing in and on society." And it's just speaking about that role that the church still has. And I underlined the "still," you know, because in many countries in this world, around the world, the church became a quiet mouthpiece. The church isn't speaking anymore. The church doesn't say what God's heart is anymore. The church became something that said, well, the lawmakers can do what they want, and we just try and be the church and a close little family circle somewhere trying to be happy. But that's not what God called us, the church, for. He called us to reach the nations and the generations. That's part of who Shofar is, okay? To go out, not to be quiet, not to be like this mouthpiece turned at volume number 1 when you can go to number 10. That's still something that the church has a mandate. I believe the church in Namibia is still active. I mean, drive around on a Sunday morning, you'll find a lot of healthy, strong churches all around this nation. We can praise God for that. But it's so much more that we need to do. The second quote, it says, "The church is presently not on par with expectations in society. It often lacks the initiative to enter into dialogue. Alternatively, has unlearned the art of real dialogue. It relies more on compromises and evasion than taking a firm stand on issues that concern society." I believe society, we, me, you, every person in this country, are asking questions that needs guidance. You know, there's something, my children are now 7 years old, and the experts say, you know, when you don't talk about your children regarding the birds and the bees and everything in life at the age of 8 years old, you know, they say 8 is too late. That's basically the rule of thumb. That's where we stand today, you know. So if you aren't going to educate your children about God and religion and the things of this life, Someone will do it. I can promise you that. You are called, me are called to do that firstly. It's our mandate as fathers and mothers, or many of you fathers and mothers to be. But it's also the mandate of this, of the church. Of the, and I'm talking about the church in Namibia, the church all around the world. So if we don't do that, someone will do it. Someone will tell society what are good moral values. Someone will tell them what is okay and what is not. And usually when the world or Hollywood gives advice and you use that for an example of relationships or marriages or being a man or a woman or a father or mother, it's going to be very bad advice. Scripture says that, you know. So we need to turn to godly advice, and we will have to get out of this comfort zone. We can't be, you know, we can't give our mandate away and be quiet and passive. Sometimes we think like pastors need to do the job, and some pastors think like other pastors need to do the job. Whatever, if maybe you think like, no, there's an evangelist like Pastor Sias that many of you know. No, he needs to do the job. No, me and you need to do the job. Okay, we can't be complacent as a church. So that is important things for the future of us, for us as the church, you know. I really trust and pray that in 10 or 20 years from now, that the church will be stronger in Namibia. That it won't be just a little flame here and there. That the bigger church will be stronger. That it will not just be like once, like that stories go, once upon a time there was a church in Namibia. That it will be what the church in Namibia is doing right now. And that it, that we can excel in what God is calling us. So this story of mine, it started in 2002, you know, the 24th of October. That day I gave my life to the Lord. 3 days later, I got baptized. And, you know, there I started my walk with God. And I remember year about 2005, I started to see some signs regarding full-time ministry. And then on a Friday afternoon in September, more or less, 2008, you know, I got that call. And I was really, at that stage, not prepared. My twins, the boys, were about 4 months old. And if you had children, you would know, having twins, which 4 months old, you just go in, you think when you can go to bed to sleep, because usually they keep you, they don't give you a lot of sleep at that time of the of your life. But that call came, we came to Namibia, we were here now 6.5 years in Chafa Vinduk, and now it's time for us to move on. It's time for a new season. But you guys are the living stones. You are the co-laborers. So whether it's me standing here, whether it's one of you standing here, whether it's another pastor, this work, this season, it needs to continue, okay? There needs to be a legacy. It needs to move on. And I believe that God is going to take this church also to a new level, to a new place. I know God has given certain gifts and a certain calling to me, and I'm really looking forward in Swakopmund when you come and visit there to serve Pastor Jaco, to assist him, especially regarding some of the pastoral things, to loosen his hands. I believe, as I said, he's going to be the senior pastor in the region, and I believe he's the guy at this stage that God is calling to run with our mandate. You know, that's why he's usually the driving force around the missions, the men's camp, many of these things. And I believe at this stage, and it's so funny, some of the men you might remember, and that's just to show how faithful God is, and when I spoke about eternity, how God knows about stuff. Last year, June, we had the men's camp, and I think it was on that last Sunday morning. There was prayer and things, and then I remember Pastor Christoph van Amerwe, the one pastor from Ceres, and then Pastor Sias Leroux, the two pastors, they went on their knees, and they, I think that was the session where we washed the guy's feet. Ladies, it was terrible. It was really scary moment. That's a joke. But basically, I was so humbled when Pastor Sias and Pastor Christoph washed me and Jaco's feet. We were sitting on the chairs, and then they prayed for us, you know. And the amazing thing, I remember I just had tears in my eyes, because what they basically prayed there was where we stand right now, about the role of Pastor Jaco, the role of me regarding church, and how we will, like almost like a puzzle, how things will work together. You know, and I just know Jaco's calling is reaching the nation. And mine was more to build God a house. So I believe it's more being the local pastor standing there And as I said, for him to help to take a certain weight off his shoulders, to loosen his hands, that he can, he's a guy that likes to run around, fly around, move around, but that's the right thing. I'm totally not wired like that, you know. I like to walk a different road, but that is how God has given us certain gifts, certain talents. And I remember me and Yaku, just right after they prayed for us, we were speaking about it, and basically what I told you right now, I said, man, I believe God called me to lift up your hands, you know. But I didn't really understand it, because at that stage, the coast, it wasn't like an option. I thought like, yeah, maybe Windhoek is a bigger place than Swakop. Maybe Yaku will come here and we'll be a team here. But no, God knows exactly in what time, what season you need to do what things. So I believe God is going to add here. God is going to take we as a movement. He's going to take us forward. I'm excited about the regional church camp. Ladies, make some time and effort. See if you can get to Awaken in Swakop. We will be there. Maybe I'll be the guy at the door welcoming you. I don't know if there's men involved. I've never been to something like that, or carry a chair or something. You'll see my wife there. Missions to Zambia, men's camp later in the year. It's a lot of things that we can pray for, things that we can later in the year. In August, we'll go to Rundu again for outreach there. Last year, we were about 35 people. Really a big team, nice event. So I want to encourage you at this stage. I think I'm quite a sentimental type of person. So that's why last night I was more looking at photos than reading scripture, in a sense. Because for me, it's like a chapter coming to an end, a new chapter starting for me and my family, but by implication also for you guys. So that's why I want to encourage you, be the living stones, you know. Be those co-laborers. Take Pastor Philip into your heart. Follow him. I believe we're going to take a few new turns. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to mean, but I do know that things will change, because with new leadership, there's always change. But I believe it's going to be for the better. And then most importantly, I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for the church, for the season of transition. It's always important. It's always sometimes a sensitive time. But I believe you guys, all of us for that matter, that we are in good hands. We are in God's hands. So I've communicated this with the leaders in church, now in church with you guys, and I don't want at the 26th of April someone to come to me, oh, you are going away, I heard it just now, whatever, you know. We're giving you now time in advance that you guys know what's going to happen. Fortunately, we stay in the region. I'm really excited about that, and I just want to encourage you to fan that flame, you know, to fan that flame, to look at what Joshua said, and to, as in the book of Daniel wrote there, that God is the one that's appointing times and seasons, and he raises. I'll never forget, in 2008, even when I, before I've put my feet into the church, Pastor Ross van Niekerk, he was here, and we stood under a tree that the house we rented at that stage. I didn't know, I haven't got a clue at that stage what this new season is going to be about. But I remember one thing he told me, and you can go and search, I think it's Psalm 74, and he said to me, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, remember, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God, you know. So there might be a season where God is going to promote you as well. Take it. Go with it. Whether it's to become a husband or to become a father. I see all the pregnant ladies isn't here today. If you're pregnant this morning, and I don't know about it, it's cool as well. There's new seasons, there's new things coming. So can we just, I actually want to invite you as well. I'm going to pray for us. And if you just have it on your heart to pray for a new season, what you feel this morning, if God is laying something on your heart, maybe a scripture, a word, or something we can send to Pastor Philip, whatever the case might be, you can pray afterwards. I'll appreciate that, because that's what church is about. It's about the family. We all come together, and I just want to trust God for this new season. Amen. Father, we want to come to you this morning, Lord God, as the God of heaven and earth, Lord God. And Lord, there's not one thing happening in our lives, in this world, that you don't know about, Lord God. And Father, we can just thank you, Lord God, that you can see over the hill, that you know so much better, Lord God. Father, where we stand sometimes with our backs to the walls and we don't have a clue about the next step, Father. Thank you that you do know, Lord God. And Father, sometimes we try and run around and make calculations and see how things will work out, Lord. But that we can just be quiet, Lord. And that know that you will lead us and guide us, Lord God. Father, just as we had to move on, that lady that said, you know, if it weren't God's move, we wouldn't be able to move to Swakop Moon in any way. But it's from you we believe, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for us, for opening doors, Lord God. And Father, I want to bring Shofar Windhoek before you, Lord God. Father, we know that you love your church. You love your people. Father, that you are so committed, Jesus Christ, to your church. And Father, this morning, I just pray for an awesome new season for Shofar Windhoek, Lord God. Father, that you will take this church and mold it, Lord God, as a piece of clay, Lord God. Father, we know being Christians, Lord God, is not always easy, Lord God. And we don't even live in one of the most persecuted countries in this world, Lord God. But Father, I pray, Lord God, in this new season, Lord God, we want to ask, Lord God, that for Pastor Philip and Anna Marie, Lord God, as they are leaving South Africa, Lord, that your hand will be with them, that you will provide for them, Lord God, with all paperwork, all the moving their stuff here, Lord God, that you will just open like the Red Sea for them, Lord God. And Father, that they will feel received here, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, the authority that you're going to place on Pastor Philip's shoulders, Lord God, as the father, as the leader of this church, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, that this church, Lord God, will just fulfill its purpose, its calling, Lord God. Lord, I pray and bless every person in this church, Lord God, that as we are on dead stones, we are living stones. Lord God, that the stones will be alive, Lord God, and that you will stir up this gift, that we will fan the flame, Lord God, and that it will be like a mighty flame, Lord God, just as with the Blaze Conference, Lord God, it says how small a fire can set alight a big forest. And Lord, that will be prophetically, Lord God, for this church, that it will be a burning fire, Lord God. Lord, that we won't look at circumstances, but that we will look at who you are, Lord God. Who your word says you are, Lord God. And Father, this morning, Lord God, any weight that is upon our shoulders, we can just cast it off, Lord God, and say it's you, Lord, who appoint kings. It's you, Lord God, who talk about seasons and when they should change, Lord God. Father, we also thank you for the rain that we had here in March, Lord God. We almost stood on the brink of disaster. And Father, you provided for us. Father, please keep on providing for us, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that Shofar Windhoek, Shofar Swakop Moon, Lord God, with a new pastor, where we are three pastors in the region, then that we will excel, Lord God, for not for our sake, but for your name's sake, that all the glory will be you, for you, Lord God. Father, I pray for the women's, the Awakens Conference, Lord, the men's camp, the regional church camp, the mission, the outreach, Lord God, the Kitima Malilu, Lord God, that your hand will be with us, Lord God. The things that we do this year, going to Rundu, Lord God, the Blaze Conference, Lord God, that it will be for your glory, Lord God, that we can excel, Lord God, that we can reach every person in the city that you want us to reach, Lord God. And Father, this morning, Lord God, we also want to give a tribute, Lord God, to every person, Lord God, that is yoked in this church, that has worked in this church, that has given of him or herself, Lord God. Father, we know in eternity, Lord God, you will reward us. Scripture says so, Lord God. But that our hearts will be to serve, Lord God, to be obedient to what you call us, Lord. Father, I just pray the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God, over Shofar Windhoek right now for this next month, Lord God, our last month here, Lord God, and then a new season. Father, that it will be painless, that the enemy will not come to steal, kill, or destroy in any way, Lord God. Yes, Father God. And that you will take us by the hand, Lord God. That you will carry us where necessary, Lord God. That you will be with us, Father God. And one day in eternity, Lord God, that we can look back at this season in our lives where we could have been part of a fight. That we will fight the good fight. That we will hold on to our faith, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. And that we can receive something from you, Lord God. What you want to give to us. In Jesus' name.
there's anyone and you feel you've got something you want to pray this morning, speak something, I'll give opportunity for two or three people.
Good morning, church. sorry, I'm a bit emotional, but when I woke up this morning, I was really just burdened, and I don't know if you ever wake up and you kind of feel like you are alone. It's almost like God is watching you from a distance, and you just want Him to get closer, but I woke up at 3 a.m. and I felt the Lord saying to me, you must pray. And I started praying, and then I went back to sleep. And as I was just putting my head down, He gave me a scripture. It was it's Matthew 18, verse 11. It says that the Son of Man has come to save the lost. And it continues on talking about how it's basically about the parable about the 100 sheep and one leaving and God going after that one sheep. And I really felt the Lord saying, as a church and as a people, as individuals, every one of us, God will literally stop heaven for us just to make sure that we're okay, just to make sure that we are in relationship with Him. And also just in a place of even the little things, God think about them. Even the things that we think this will not appeal to God, He thinks about them. He thinks about us and everything about us to that extent of counting the number of hair on our head. That's how much God is detailed about us. And the Bible says His thoughts towards us are more than the sand on the seashore, you know. And I'm really humbled by that, to just get in a place where you understand that, not that I can fully understand, but where you understand that really God is concerned about me as a person. God is concerned about my life. And also the one thing that He also laid on my heart is, set yourself apart for me. And be holy because I'm holy. And we were talking this morning, a friend and I, and we were saying, you know, a lot of times we are so drawn up in the crowd. We're so drawn up in everyone is doing it, so I'm going to do it. But as Christians, we have a standard according to the Word of God. And that goes with scripture that Carol just read this morning, that, you know, the Word of God must be in our heart and for us not to depart from it from the right or to the left. And I really want to plead with us as a church and as individuals to search our hearts, to search our life, because we have a God, and our God is a jealous God. And maybe to us, the little things seems not to matter, but to God, they're such big things. They matter. They hurt Him. And because He loves us so much, He doesn't consume us, but at the same time, we shouldn't take for granted His mercy. And I just want to pray for us as well. And also, I just want to bless Carol, because he's been such a blessing, and his family, they have really... You have really been a blessing to us, and we love you, I love you. I don't know about everyone else. But yeah, and I really, like he said, we have worked together. So it's been, cool. Let me just pray for us. Yes, Father, we just honor your name, because you are faithful, because you are holy, because you're mighty, and in your mightiness, you don't cast us away. You say, come to me. Even if you're weary, even if you're heavy laden, even if you have questions, even if you have doubt, come to me. Come, even if your sins are as red as crimson, come to me. Let us reason together. Father, today we just want to bring ourselves at the foot of the cross. We just want to bring our church before your mighty God. Holy God, we just want to stand before you as children, Lord Jesus. And we just want to thank you for adopting us, Almighty God. We want to thank you for the blood of your Son that you did not spare, Lord, but you shared it for our pain. You shared it for us, Almighty God. And Father, as a church, we just want to humble ourselves before you. And we pray that you take our hand and lead us into this new season, Almighty God. We pray that you open up our hearts, Lord Jesus, where we have hardened our hearts, Almighty God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you heal our hearts, Lord Jesus, where they're broken, Lord Jesus, where we're questioning you, Lord Jesus, where we're doubting you, Almighty God. Father, I pray that you just come and reach out to us, Almighty God, and just turn everything in us, Almighty God. And Father, I pray that we bring glory to your name, Almighty God, through our works, through our mouths, Almighty God, through the gifts that you have given us, Almighty God, in the places where you have set us, Almighty God, be it at work, Lord Jesus, or in society, Lord Jesus, among peoples around us, Almighty God, may we bring glory to your holy name, Almighty God. And Father, you know, often we speak about how we can either bring you glory or dishonor you, Almighty God. Father, I pray that you turn our ashes into beauty today, Almighty God, that you give us oil of joy, Lord Jesus, that you take away a spirit of heaviness and give us a garment of praise, Almighty God, because you have done so much for us, and we can never count how much you have done for us, because it's just too much for even our mind to fathom, Almighty God. Even the fact that we can stand here right now or sit here right now and think, Lord Jesus, it's because of your goodness, Almighty God. The fact that we have clothing, the fact that we can eat every day, Almighty God, it's because of your mercy, Almighty God. And Father, I just want to repent for where we have taken you for granted, Almighty God. And I really just pray that you open up our eyes to see you as our King, to see you as our God, the King of Kings, Almighty God. And may we give you honor that is due to your name, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, church. I'm not going to be long. Just want to greet you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Pastor Carol, you know, he's been finishing everything. I don't know, and my daughter has been finishing everything. You know, if we can't be full with that, what God has been putting to Pastor Carol, he can feed us. I don't know what else we needed. Because, you know, I am so broken heart about my second last brother. My heart is broken. Yesterday, up in the morning, just heard the bad news from home. He had a headache. He was having that headache long time. And I was praying to God. I was praying. And he said to me, Sissy, I'm healed. And then yesterday, my sister, he just said, my youngest sister, no, he's gone. And I was asking myself a question, Lord, I am your daughter and I'm praying all the time. And God answered me. And Pastor Carol, like I say, he's not preaching no more. He prophet. And really, he prophet over my life. First scripture, what is been opening here? Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. He says there is time for everything. There is time for everything. I really thank you for you church members of the churches. But I just want to turn and say to Pastor Carol, to me, I'm telling you, I will miss you. Your picture will be on me all the time. You'll be all these years what been starting coming here in Sofa Church. To me, you are so special together with your wife. You are very special. But God, the scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says there is time for everything. God says to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he have a plan. Not a plan for us to harm. A plan as to give a future life. We can prosper. There is a plan for God, this. You can move from here. And really, I was asking myself there, I was saying, God, what is this? Answer me right now. Why? And God, he says, my thought is not your thought. And my ways is not your ways. It's far like a heaven. I know, like you say, it's a new season. It's your new season, Pastor Carol. But I will never, never forget you. You really. This road is not an easy road. It's a tough road. I know to be a leader is not easy, it's tough. but you've been carry the burden. You've been really carry. Like Paul, he says, you know, we are on the race. Start a good work and end with a good work. You've been starting this in this super church in Venduk, and you've been ending with a good work. And that really God has been prepare such a good things for you. And I'm also happy with a man of God, what is coming. Whatever what I don't know, but you know, we must pray about it. As Pastor Carol was saying, we must pray about it. You know, the people, they can be so smart at the top, but inside, nobody knows. It's only God what knows. Yes, God, he knows, he search us. Like my daughter was saying, God must search us. God must search us. And I really appreciate Maretz. There's Maretz is taking the child. I don't know if we are going to get a mother like Maretz again. And I really appreciate Maretz. I will miss her so much. I will miss her. Maretz, I will miss you. Me, Mama Doris, I will miss you. You just like my daughter to me. I really love you so much. And I really, you know what? I was crying there. And God says to me, what are you crying for? Because I take for Pastor Carol on the new season. Really, Pastor Carol, you were something here in this church. And me, let me tell you, I never walk into the church. The Holy Spirit, when I was evangelist all the time, when I'm coming from the hospital, he say, come in this church. I say, what? What I'm going to do in this church? Come in this church. I say, what I'm going to do? Come in this church. The Holy Spirit called me at Sofa Church. I'm not going to walk out here in sake of what? My friend or who? I'm going to walk out when the Holy Spirit says, go out and go there. I will go. Let we not do the things according to the flesh. Let we do the things according to the will of God. According to the will of God is all what we need to do it as a children of God. I'm not going to pray because you know what? My daughter is already finished and Pastor Carol is already finished. I don't want to take my time from my church. I love you so much. And I remember when we were at the old church, we always pray for my daughter. What's the name? The one is a doctor now. Yeah. Lucky. Yeah. We are always praying for her, and today she is a doctor. You know what God can do? What God can do? There's my daughter Priska also. She's sitting there. What I was praying for her, and she come back from Rundu, and I really say appreciate for her also. And I know you are going to get married, like or not. Whatever that man try, whatever he do, whatever he deny, I'm going to pray he can put engagement on you. He can marry you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Carol. Okay. Thank you, Amen. Pastor Carol.
Morning, family. What I have is just, you know, as Pastor Carl was praying, it's as if I saw this vision of, what do you call this? Is it a torch or a button? You know, when, at the Olympics? It's like I saw these heavenly beings cheering for him as he runs in a stadium holding this torch. And he's passing it on to Pastor Philip. And there's this crowd, there's this cheering that's going on for a job well done. And it's like a celebration. And it's, you know, where he's going. It's emotional. It's like God is elevating him to another, I don't know, is it dimension or level of ministering. And, you know, I just want to bless him with a prayer. No. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Carl, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for everything that has done for this church and so much more, Father God. And we thank you for this stepping stone, sort of. We thank you for this celebration, Father God. We thank you for the footprints that he's left in our hearts and in our lives and in so many things, Father God. And we thank you for the new responsibility that he's going to take on. Lord, we pray that you bless him, Father God. Bless his family. Bless his footsteps. Guide his decisions, his plans. Lord, we know you're there already blessed, Father God. We just come and cover him, Lord. And we just thank you for his life. And we celebrate what he has done here and many, many more things that he's going to do, Lord. And we also thank you for Pastor Philip, who's going to take over, Father God, as you usher us into the season. Lord, we are expectant, we are excited, and we celebrate it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So yeah, you guys must have a wonderful Sunday. Next week, it's the Easter weekend. If you travel on the roads, travel safely. And there's coffee and tea at the back. Join someone, speak to someone. And we didn't greet the visitors here, but it's good to see our sister Mushinga here. It's great for her to visit us all the way from the north. So be blessed and have a wonderful Sunday. And if you travel next week, travel safely. Amen.